Hello, Internet, and welcome to another Tadpog podcast, where two old guys and one sexy beast talk about old games.
Yeah.
I'm your bearded host, Tyler, and I have a bath story.
You have a bath story.
I have a bath time story.
And you promised one last episode. I'm glad you remembered, because I completely forgot.
So, when I was small, I was a wee one, my mom was giving me a bath. I was not big enough to get out of the bathtub on my own, but she was giving me a bath, and the phone rang. So she got up for just a second to go in the other room, grab the cordless phone, and bring it back. So as soon as she leaves the room, she grabs the phone, and she hears me just scream. Like, I am screaming like someone is murdering me. So she runs back in the room, and she sees me on the far end of the tub, struggling, splashing, doing everything I can do to get out of the tub. At the opposite end by the faucet is a turd. I had shit in the bathtub, and it just frightened me to death, and I just had to get out and run away.
I'm Dave, your bespectacled host, and I guess I'll try to tie it in with the screaming bloody murder. I remember one of the worst things I've ever done to my mother is creating a replica of myself when I was about 9 years old. I stuffed my clothing full of pillows and blankets and put a mask over where my head would be. And I laid it down at the bottom of the stairs and then threw something heavy down the stairs and screamed and then went silent. And then my mom came from the top of the stairs and ran down the stairs and started crying. I mean, it was, I thought it was funny until she started crying, and then I realized that I'd probably crossed the line. We have someone with us today, Tyler, a sexy beast.
Mm-hmm. I'll say.
Hi, I'm Jacob. Even though I'm old, I don't consider myself old, so.
You have some kind of notoriety on this show.
Yeah, I was in, not the very first episode, but the very first episode of the IGN Top 100 Final Fight, and I can easily take two wolves.
I was going to ask how many wolves you have fought.
I'm saying I could definitely. My roommate Lee keeps getting on me because he says that the number of wolves that I can fight
is Lee a wolf.
Lee is not a wolf.
Okay. If,
but if he was, I think I would be contractually obligated to murder him.
clone him, and then murder both of them.
So, one is nothing. One's no big deal. You just can't think of them as puppies. That's it. You can't think of them as dogs with feelings that you love. That's all. But yeah, that's me. That's me. That's Jacob. Hi.
I can tell the story about when we lived together and the hot water heater busted and flooded your room. And you didn't say anything for about 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
And the whole room just turned into this fetid swamp that we had set books and things down for him to get to his bed.
Although I think my favorite story, and a story that I tell to this day about living with you, Tyrone, is every time someone asks me about, like, so you don't like, you like your burgers plain, so you don't like have anything else, even ketchup? Is that one time I fell asleep on the couch in our shared apartment, and I had my mouth open, and Tyrone,
like you do,
thought, you know, I mean, it's I'm in a safe place. Mm-hmm. I don't need to worry about things like that.
So you thought.
I fell asleep with my mouth open, and Tyrone thought it would be a funny prank to get a squeeze bottle of ketchup and spray it into my mouth. And correct me if I'm wrong, Tyrone, but the way that I remember you describing it is that he sprayed the ketchup in my mouth.
Not just a little bit. Like, I filled your mouth up with ketchup. Yeah.
And I think that the process was my mouth closed. I felt the ketchup there. My eyes opened, and I was kind of blank. And then my eyes filled with rage, and I leapt off of the couch and, like, grabbed Tyrone by the shirt and shoved him up against the wall. And then grabbed his mouth trying to open it because I was going to spit the ketchup back into his mouth.
Ah, the old ketchup snowball. I was going to say, the only thing that could have made that worse was if, Tyler, if you had put the ketchup in the microwave for about 4 seconds before squirting it in his mouth.
Because, like, you inhaled to propel the ketchup outward, and, like, comically, I, like, smacked both of my hands across your mouth in an X.
Yeah, so, I don't remember exactly how it ends, but I believe it ended with something akin to me spitting in the sink and saying, don't ever do that again. It's just, I don't like ketchup. I don't, it's gross.
No. It's like there's a whole lot of stuff like that. You can put in someone's mouth that they're sleeping and they wake up appreciative.
I don't know.
Hey, it's a treat.
Starburst. Thanks. And some idiot, and correct me if I'm wrong, Tyrone working out guy, some idiot at the movies the other day tried to tell me there were no calories in ketchup.
No.
Yeah. That guy's dumb. I was like, it's full of sugar. And he was like, no, I don't think that's true. And I was like, buddy.
It is full of it's full of corn syrup. Yeah. Unless you buy the organic, then it's full of sugar.
Is he thinking of mustard, maybe?
Mustard has, like, it's negligible in calories.
Yeah. So, but that, like, that guy was talking about, like, yeah, I'm trying to, you know, he was some high school kid, and he was like, yeah, I'm trying to get a six pack, you know, and, but the only thing that I let myself have is ketchup, so I just, like, drown my stuff in ketchup, and I was like, that has a ton of, like, sugar in that, buddy. Yep. He was like, no. Okay, yeah, all right.
Ketchup sandwiches from a six pack.
Good luck, buddy. Get those crunches.
What are we talking about this week? Little X-Men?
IGN 78th ranked game, X-Men Mutant Apocalypse.
I'm not editing that.
Okay, all right, that's fair.
You want to talk about what we've been playing?
Not really. I mean, I guess.
We can do it super brief.
Okay, super brief.
So brief.
Metroid Fusion.
You've been playing Metroid Fusion?
Good game.
Yeah.
Good game.
I have been playing Castlevania Harmony of Dissonance.
How does that even make sense?
I think that's why I have a problem. I have a problem remembering the name of that game because the title doesn't make sense. Something is either
dissonant or harmonious.
Right. So I always have an issue with the title of that game. I played it actually on the way to your apartment, Jacob, where we are recording right now.
Yeah, we are not live in the wood-paneled recording studio.
Ted Park Studios.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We are not there. You guys are on the road here in the dirty South, Atlanta, Georgia.
Yep.
Actually, Decatur.
Speaking of the dirty, you may have noticed that our intro song was different. Did you notice that?
I did.
Yeah?
Yeah. I thought it sounded different.
That's because the dirtiest D provided the music for this episode.
Oh, wow.
So a link to that will be in the show notes, and we'll play the full track at the end of the show if you want to hear it.
Nice. A side note, is that, like, just new from here on out? You guys just have a new song? Or are you going to stick with Moves and it's just for this episode, or what?
We're
going
to stick with Moves, and if anyone's gracious enough to mix or record an original song for us, we're happy to consider playing it on the show, if it's up to snuff, like Megalixir's material has been, and also David Dykus's material.
I'm just going to cover Moves.
Have you been playing anything recently, Jacob?
I have. I have been playing. The main thing that recently I was playing is that I went back and bought Borderlands, the first one, not the second one. I'm not made out of money. I got the Game of the Year edition because it was $20 on Amazon. I've been playing through that and beat it. Boy, talk about an underwhelming boss battle.
I've never played it. I've never played the first one.
Spoiler alerts, the vault is not worth it. It's all about the journey in that game because it's, and the journey is wonderful. The thing that I keep hearing is that, oh man, if you're enjoying Borderlands, you'll love Borderlands 2. And I can't wait. I'm very excited to play Borderlands 2. But I've actually really enjoyed playing Borderlands, though I had the same, Dave, you and I were talking earlier about, you know, I had the same reaction as I had when playing Skyrim, insofar as I reach a point in the game where it's like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
And I want to just finish it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I was at with that. But I've enjoyed it. I've really enjoyed it. It's completely been worth my $20. I've also been playing Poker Night at the Inventory 2.
Is that any good? I heard mixed things about it.
Yeah, it's fine. You know, it's a poker game.
Yeah.
And the voice acting is great. And a lot of characters that I'm interested in. I think Brock Sampson's interesting. And I think GLaDOS, obviously. And I think that out of our group of friends, I don't think it's going out on a limb saying that I'm the biggest Sam and Max enthusiast out of us. So the fact that Sam and Max are featured and featured heavily is really cool for me. But yeah, it's honestly playing Poker Night at the Inventory is what made me want to get Borderlands because Claptrap is a character in it.
Oh, yeah.
So seeing him so much
made me... Some of the cross-marketing worked on you.
It worked.
Yeah.
It totally worked. And then on my phone, I've been playing Oregon Trail Director's Cut, which is basically, it's Oregon Trail, but instead of, you know, what people actually dealt with on the Oregon Trail, you are trying to get
dysentery.
From... Dysentery. Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, there is dysentery. Oh. Even so. Dysentery and typhoid. Dysentery. But you're trying to get from Washington, D.C. to a safe haven in Oregon in the midst of a zombie apocalypse. So
I'm in your party.
You were in my party.
Tyler is there.
Yeah. My first party, the only person who didn't make it was Lee because
he's a wolf.
A bandit grabbed him from behind and I missed the shot to save him. So the bandit killed him and there wasn't even like an option to like barter for Lee's life. It was just, sorry, I just want to kill this guy. So that happened, but eventually I did make it. That time I didn't make it, so you guys were stuck. You guys lived, but I died. So I have no idea what happened.
We buried you with a tombstone that said, "Here lies pepperoni and cheese."
It was I think it was, "Here lies Jacob who got attacked at the edge of a screen by a zombie." Bullshit. I think that's my epitaph.
You have also been playing X-Men Mutant Apocalypse.
I have been. I've been playing that quite a bit today.
Well, I mean, we've been doing extensive playing. We've been playing for months.
You guys have been playing for a long time.
No, I mean us, all together.
All three of us have been playing for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it just seems like a long time.
All three of us have been playing, preparing for this one moment for years.
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 Gotta gear up for 78. Gear up, bro. Come on.
That's why
catch a sandwich. Carb up.
Yeah, the entire, as I don't know if the Tadpock listening public knows this, but it's, the games have already been played. This is just chronicling it.
Unless we're talking about Flashback, because I mean, honestly.
Who ever played Flashback?
We recorded these like 4 years ago.
Right.
We're all just dead in your timeline.
Releasing them slowly.
If you talk to us on Facebook, that's just our moms.
Oh, and if I...
Our dying wish...
If I can, I want to, it's not what have I been playing, but what have I been watching? Listening public, you should get your hands on Black Mirror, which is a British television show sort of in the vein of Twilight Zone. What made me think of that just now is the joke about our Facebook profiles. There's an episode, which I think is really interesting, about basically in the future, not the far-flung future, but like, you know, just a few years from now, a company will be around that will comb through every moment of your online existence, and from that online existence they will be able to craft a representation of you. So basically this episode, and I actually haven't gotten to this episode, this is just my understanding of it, is that a woman's husband dies and she is able to set up a replicant of him basically through all of his interactions online. So,
is that the show where a terrorist organization asks the prime minister to fuck a pig?
Yes. That's episode one.
And apparently the actor who plays the prime minister is the leading candidate for the next Doctor in Doctor Who, which I'm excited about. Well, I'm sort of excited about. I hate to see Matt Smith go.
No, we all hate to see Matt Smith go, buddy.
Hear, hear.
I shouldn't be so snarky about Doctor Who, but I just don't.
It's okay. I mean, you have to be at a certain bar to understand it. I get it. I'm fine with it.
It's like Star Wars.
Yeah, that's it.
Star Wars.
It's like Star Wars.
Exit Mean Apocalypse.
Right.
One of my favorite parts of the game was turning it on and hearing that Capcom that's our trio rendition of Capcom.
Although it's odd because when it started, my immediate interaction was, "Oh, Street Fighter II music's about to start."
Yeah, that is where I remember it the most from. Yeah, it's true. And Mega Man X, turning on Mega Man X.
Mm-hmm.
Although then you see him blast to pieces.
Surely everyone's familiar with this game. We don't need to do Dave Reads from Wikipedia. Do you think?
I didn't play this as a kid.
No?
Nope.
All
okay.
right.
Okay. Let's do it real quick.
Okay.
Little segment. Miller's favorite segment. I like to call Dave Reads from Wikipedia. X-Men, Jacob, colon, Mutant Apocalypse.
Who are these X-Men?
We'll get there.
Okay.
It's a side-scrolling action game released by Capcom, like we said, for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System.
Okay.
In 1994.
Okay.
The game is based on the X-Men comic book franchise you may have heard of, and the early 1990s X-Men animated series.
Oh.
AKA a cartoon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In Mutant Apocalypse, players control five of the X-Men. There's Beast, there's Cyclops, Gambit, Psylocke, and Wolverine. He's a loner.
Such a loner.
I wouldn't expect to see Psylocke in a game.
Right.
I think she's like the wild card there. Beast, I think of him as someone who usually stays behind more.
Mm-hmm.
So him being there is a little surprising.
Well, you know, honestly, I think that I think Gambit is up for discussion character because he is in a lot of the video games. Gambit gets a lot of hate in a lot of circles for, you know, having a weird, stupid costume and a weird, stupid accent and just having been created to...
I think he gets a lot of shit for it now.
Yeah.
I think back in the 90s, it was crazy cool.
Yeah.
Don't mess with a Cajun.
Yeah. Part of what makes X-Men so interesting to me is that the only people that you can kind of always count on to show up are Cyclops and Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, who knows, you might get a Nightcrawler, or you might get a Storm, or you might get a Beast, or you might even get Bishop, in case you want someone with a gun.
You might get Dazzler.
you might get Dazzler. If you're the last person to the arcade cabinet, then you might get Dazzler.
I had not played this X-Men game before we started it years ago. Because I was only familiar with the Genesis version, where you had three X-Men, you could summon three other X-Men like once during the game.
It's been a really, really long time since I played that.
Yeah.
I remember being incredibly difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I could never beat Apocalypse.
The only thing that I remember about that one, we discussed it before we started recording, is that you could play as Nightcrawler, and you could actually pick which way he would teleport.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It wasn't just like in the X-Men arcade game where you press a button and he randomly goes
all across the screen.
You could say Nightcrawler toward there and he would go up wherever you went.
Like you could use him to glitch a little bit to get past certain...
Yeah.
I remember you could skip a few bosses with him doing that.
Yeah.
I remember Sabretooth you could trap with Iceman to trap him on the bottom and then just walk over him and move on. Like a few little tricks like that. I have fond memories of that. And not so fond memories of the one I had for Game Gear.
I don't think I ever played that one.
X-Men for Game Gear was terrible.
Really?
Oh, it was terrible.
What was bad about it? It was actually Flashback.
It was. it looked a little bit like Flashback because the graphics were awful. The sprites were very small. You couldn't see any facial features. You could just kind of make out the color of their costume.
Yeah.
I remember you didn't have enough battery life to beat Sebastian Shaw. That it was a
That's
grueling,
an interesting
long,
burn
long
for an X-Men
fight.
Game.
Like, you had to have it plugged in the wall. You hit him, he would recover his strength.
Uh-huh.
So you had to walk him into traps. And it just took an unbelievably long time.
Kiting version 0.1.
Yep.
I remember playing the Genesis game, and you mentioned the sprites and the Game Gear. That's the only thing that I can really remember about that is how small the sprites were. I think that was a turnoff for me because as a kid, I was very concerned with the graphics. In fact, that was one of my favorite things to exclaim when I was in the video rental store was to look at the back of the box and be like, "Mom, look at these graphics!
Look at the graphics!
Look at the graphics!
GameSpot says its fun factor is a 4.5!
What's Scary Larry say?"
But who listened to you? Square Enix. They're like, they clearly, people only care about the graphics. We're going to turn the graphics up to 11 now from here on out.
And every video store in the late 80s and early 90s, we never noticed them, but there were three Japanese men in very nice suits and clipboards just taking notes. Graphics, underlined.
Yeah, every time they fired a designer or fired a someone who wrote story and hired another graphics designer. Every time somebody mentioned that in a video store.
No, okay, so it seems like what they're talking about are, number one, graphics. Number two, they really like it when people have big swords. And number three, also, we should buy Enix.
Graphics were important to me, too, but I always... I think, Jake, you and I talked about this in the past. Look at the water.
Oh, yeah. Oh, look at the water. Oh, water's look a benchmark. The water. And that's, water. There's, that's no lie. Water is a benchmark in a game.
Man.
How is the water in... There's some water in X-Men Mutant Apocalypse.
Is there water?
There is, in Beast level. Takes place in a sewer.
It's briny. You can tell that it's a sewer because it's pretty briny. But look at the lava.
Yeah.
Look at how it flows.
Yeah. The lava looks good. I like the lava.
For a Super NES game of that era.
There's also water in Gambit's level when he rides his tiny boat up to the helicopter at the end.
His very tiny boat that is meant for one person to stand in.
Yeah.
In accordance with maritime law, one tiny boat to stand in.
Did you know that's a real thing? Maritime law?
Yeah, like bird law, yeah. Although I had X-Men for Game Gear. The only game I think is... You should have a Game Gear exclusively for this one game, being Shining Force, sort of Haja. If anybody else has played that,
oh
my god, I love that game. It got me very much into Shining Forces, which what Josh and I would named our Lego Army Force that we trade back and forth.
Nice.
Yeah, the Shining Force.
Sort of Haja. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I never had a Game Gear, so I missed out on that completely. I was always such a Nintendo partisan. I had a Genesis. I got a Genesis. God bless my parents, my long-suffering parents. I got a Genesis basically for Mortal Kombat. Like, probably,
you needed blood.
Yeah.
You needed
blood. Like, probably a lot of kids of my era got a Genesis specifically for the blood in Mortal Kombat. But, played the X-Men game. Although, the game I probably played for my Genesis more than anything else was, like, NHL 94. I don't know
it's
why.
It's on the list.
Yep.
It's on IGN's list. Mm. Yeah, I bought it at a flea market a few months ago for, like, $3.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, what a great game.
The water in that game is frozen.
Nice. We did it.
Yeah.
We did it. But, yeah, I have a lot of fond memories of X-Men Mutant Apocalypse.
I do, too.
The last time I was on the show, I was talking about how I had such fond memories of Final Fight and how the harsh reality of Final Fight ruined that completely for me. I don't feel the same way about X-Men Mutant Apocalypse. I took issue with some points in the game, but I basically really enjoyed it.
I did too. This is one of the games that I revisit frequently. I never owned it as a kid. I rented it pretty frequently. I never beat it as a kid. And then about 4 years ago, I revisited it and finally beat it. And then it seems like, for some reason or another, I always end up playing it at least once a year since then. So
if we break down the game, we're three red-blooded American males.
Yeah.
Who was your female X-Men of choice?
Okay.
I want to say, who did you masturbate to? But you might have been too young. Might have not been a thing. Like, who was your crush?
Well, I masturbated to all of them. So...
At various points.
You want, which one did I love, though?
Who did you want a wifey?
Well, I sexed them all.
Yeah.
Man, I was usually torn between Psylocke and Rogue.
Yeah.
Because I always thought that Rogue would be an awesome girlfriend.
Yeah.
But I thought Psylocke she's Asian, so she's hotter. So, as we covered in a previous episode, Asian people are more attractive.
Smallest vaginas in the game.
Right. Yep. So I'm going to go, what's that?
Really? Is it? Okay.
What, have you not been listening?
No, I've been listening, but I don't remember that portion, but also I don't know that I necessarily agree.
Well, then who is your X-Men girlfriend?
Well, no, it's, okay, so Murder, Marry, Sleep With, X-Men,
ooh,
X-Men, X-Women, and I'm trying to think about it as adolescent Jacob, not contemporary Jacob, because contemporary right. Jacob would, I mean, I think...
make much more mature decisions yeah. on which comic book character he would marry.
I think, obviously.
Right.
I think contemporary Jacob is obviously, you know, Gene is obviously the person that you want, but, I mean, for, you know, for my purposes. But I don't know. I think, what are your
purposes? You know. I would also like to know.
Like, I think Gene and I would have a nice life. We'd settle down and, yeah. you know, like, have some mutant children. And, yeah. You know, but the one that I was crazy about was always Rogue. Okay. Rogue was my favorite, mm-hmm. far and away. Mm-hmm. But that's not logistically. It doesn't make any sense. She right. She would literally murder me.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't even mean to. So mm-hmm. there's nothing that could be done about that. But that
means your love means so much more.
Yeah, well, that's like that's like a long distance relationship with a person right there. That's like you have all of the responsibilities of a relationship, but none of the benefits. So sorry, Rogue. But yeah, it's Rogue. Rogue was mine, definitely.
Tyler?
Rogue was mine as well. I hated Jubilee. Hated Jubilee.
I liked Jubilee, but I did not want to have sex with Jubilee.
Mm-mm. I don't think anybody did. I don't know anybody who... Yeah, my boner focus, mm-hmm. Jubilee.
I do
yeah.
now. I've changed my mind. Oh, no, wait, no, I know. I'm wrong, because you know who I wanted to be my girlfriend? Shadowcat.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted Kitty Pryde. Yeah, that's good. Kitty Pryde to be my girlfriend. I wanted Rogue to make out with me once and almost kill me, and then have Kitty Pryde save me.
And nurse you back to health?
Yes.
You're a sick fuck.
And take me to the lighthouse in London, hang out with Captain Britain and Nightcrawler.
Mm-hmm.
Excalibur, so underrated.
It is.
So underrated.
X-Men and Mutant Apocalypse. I thought it was an interesting mashup of a fighting game and a beat-em-up.
Yep. And a platformer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of a mishmash of all three.
It tries to do a lot of things, and I don't know if it benefits or it suffers because of that.
I think it benefits. I can't name too many games that I think blend those three so well.
Yeah.
And I remember when we were talking about Final Fight, and it's kind of serendipitous that you're back on the show talking mm-hmm. about this game with us, Jacob, because in the Final Fight episode, we talk about how we could see from Final Fight the evolution of Capcom games and leading into fighting games and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think we even mentioned that it would be interesting if you could input fighting move button presses, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
In a beat-em-up.
Just to have something breaking up the monotony mm-hmm. of go forward and push X or whatever.
Which is the case in this game.
Yeah.
Each character has four or five special moves that they can do by, you know, doing your Hadouken quarter circle forward kind of stuff.
I wonder why that is such a staple in, like, every fighting game or beat-em-up or, like, even Final Fantasy VI, it was important.
It's a blitz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For Sabin's R-Bolt. Like, it's just, that is such a...
It's iconic.
...staple of any, yeah, I guess.
Do you think it speaks to the popularity of Street Fighter 2?
Yeah, that, I think definitely it does.
That's just a move that we have all been accustomed to doing for so long.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
And it's also, and it flows in a way that forward, back, forward doesn't.
Right.
Or quarter circle backwards mm-hmm. doesn't, you know, and a lot of times you're getting into a place where, you know, if you go into the upper realm of the D-pad, you're running into jump
right.
abilities. So, you know, that's it for me, because if you do, so half of the D-pad is basically gone. Like mm-hmm. you can't go forward and up because of jumping. You can't do forward, back, forward because that breaks up things too much. You can't do hold backwards for 2 seconds charge. And then forward mm-hmm. because it takes too long. I think that is just the easiest, quickest, most sensible way. And you're also going forward toward your opponent, so it feels more active. You're
pushing something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. We figured it out, you guys.
I think this game did a much better job of incorporating a fighting game and a brawler and a platformer together than the Mortal Kombat Sub-Zero game did. I've been dying to bring that up the whole time we were playing, but wanted to refrain and save it for the show.
Game. Just thinking that game hurts.
Because it tried to do this very thing, and in my personal opinion, I think it failed.
It was like one of the horrible games that you get frustrated at on Nick Arcade watching. Because the way you had to move and then shuffle up and down was so... Oh, uh-huh. God, that game was awful. You're right. This game is much, much better.
High praise. This game is much better than Sub-Zero's Adventures.
I think they printed that on the box.
I like fighting games, mm-hmm. but they're one of my weaker genres. You guys were a lot better at this game than I was. I just like moving up and down and pressing the same few buttons, like trying to hit, trying to throw Gambit's cards or Cyclops' Optic Blast. Mm-hmm. I had a really hard time with it.
And I think it's interesting because it also rewards different styles of play.
Yes.
Which is something that, you know, I was really impressed with of a game from this era because, Dave, you're much better at fighting games than I am. You're far and away much better at fighting games than I am. So the way that you approached a lot of things was with a lot of combos as opposed to me, which I found like one or two moves that would really work for me and mm-hmm. figure out ways to chain that move into, you know, advancement.
Right. You were very hit and run, yeah. which I thought was incredible because I never really sat down with a person and played this game. It's because mm-hmm. it's a one-player game.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just something that you can do alone and be entertained, much like Psylocke.
Yeah.
But it was interesting because I loved seeing how you would fight bosses differently than I would. Both solutions worked. It's just they worked in different ways.
You played it more like a fighting game, and I played it more like a platformer.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that may be a testament that it is a good mashup of the genres.
Yeah, yeah.
And Tyler, I think that a lot of...
And Tyrone, you played it like a driving game.
Right.
Just screaming and flooding the controller. Play it just like a racing game. Okay, some of the character designs, like Cyclops moves like Mr. Heavyfoot from Kids in the Hall because he's so slow and his feet and hands are so oversized. Like,
so that should metal. Be
so oh. metal.
Sorry, Rocco.
That should be Beast's thing as opposed to Cyclops' thing. Beast wasn't, he was like just this big ape.
Yeah.
He moonrocked a gorilla, and then Cyclops moves like somebody who has some. I'm sure there's a disease where your hands and your feet are way too big for your body. But
yeah, lead foot disease, yeah.
He had that. Which, okay, I'm going to digress for something about having really big hands.
Oh, no.
When I was little, before I would get sick, I'd always have the same nightmare. And this nightmare was I had enormous hands, and I had to eat wheat. And the wheat was very small, and I couldn't pick up the wheat with my giant hands.
Well, thanks, buddy. I didn't need to sleep tonight.
Yeah. I would wake up and clasp my hands together so I could feel that they weren't too big.
You need to post that to the No Sleep subreddit. You really do.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah. Check it out, everybody.
Although, I will say that I don't know. There's only one thing that I had a huge gripe in with this game. So it's basically going to be me glowing talking about this game. One of the things that I loved as soon as it came on and we started playing it, is that I loved the character design, and much like how Arkham Asylum got so much praise because it made you feel like Batman. This was one of the first games that I remember thinking, oh wow, this Wolverine plays like Wolverine. This makes sense.
Right.
He's not the same character as all of these other characters. He has knives that are sticking out of his hands, and he can climb walls with them. That makes sense. As opposed to Psylocke, who cannot do that, but can bounce from one person to another using her karate. So, I mean, I don't know. I thought that the character design was good, and I thought that, I don't know, Cyclops being that sort of made sense to me. It didn't make him fun to play.
Right.
Yeah, he was our least played
character. But it made sense to me insofar as him being the kind of guy who is the staunch, upright, starched shirt leader sort of guy, you know, as opposed to Beast, who has the ability to hang upside down, or Psylocke, who can bounce around, or Wolverine, who can climb walls, you know.
And a lot of the character designs carried over even today, because Capcom has kind of built a Marvel video game empire
mm-hmm.
around some of these designs. Because, for example, Wolverine today in Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 still has several of the same moves from this Super Nintendo game.
He keeps the hands low, moving his
mm-hmm.
that rhythmic
Yeah, the animations, some of the movesets even, the art style is all very, very similar. So I think they really took some polish on the art.
Do you want to talk about the Children of the Atom coincidence?
Yeah, I'd love to. Yeah. It's not really a coincidence. Yeah,
not a coincidence at all. It's
specifically designed, I believe. Children of the Atom and
sort X-Men. Of, which was the first Capcom released X-Men fighting game,
right?
Which predates Marvel versus Capcom
and Marvel superheroes.
Yeah,
yeah.
Was released in arcades
the same year that X-Men Mutant Apocalypse was released in North America.
Yeah,
and I think it's interesting. I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe that X-Men Mutant Apocalypse, for whatever reason, was released first in North America. Usually, a Capcom game comes out in Japan first, but I imagine it had to be because of the subject material.
Yeah. I'm
sure X-Men probably more popular here than they were in Japan.
Yeah, it was reskinned to be Akira Mutant Apocalypse in Japan. So.
This game did teach me a few things I didn't know about X-Men before I went into it.
All right.
Being that Wolverine's claws are more effective against inorganic material than they are organic material. He can climb walls.
Uh-huh.
But he cannot cut a bitch to save his life, literally. Because you see, he fights, you know, the same buff gentleman throughout the game, and takes a lot of clawings to kill a man.
Yeah, but it's also interesting you bring that up, because a few kicks from Gambit will knock a door down a hell of a lot faster than 4 to 5 swings of adamantium claws.
Adamantium claws? Nah, son. Gambit boots. Sentinels come in all shapes and sizes.
Yeah.
Because you fight ones that take up the half the screen, and you fight ones that are just a little bit bigger than you.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember Sentinels being the size of skyscrapers. And I said Master Mold was bigger than that.
Right.
And then Nimrod was the size of a person.
There's still variations.
You can build robots of any size.
Any size you want.
Yeah. Welcome to the robot future.
Genosha has very strict policy on who they can hire.
They do.
To guard their island. You have to be male. No girls allowed. Boys only on Genosha.
Uh-huh.
You have to have 2% body fat.
Yeah.
You have to be able to squat 600 pounds, more or less, I think. The higher you are in rank, the more higher and higher antenna things you put on your ears.
Yeah.
To signify rank. Mm-hmm. You can only wear earth tones.
Yeah. Strictly greens or browns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's it. If you're skinny, if you're not super ripped, they'll give you a knife or a gun.
Right.
And then put a mask on you.
Yes.
Or a swamp suit.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're poor employees that had for their job to put on a wetsuit and scuba underneath the swamp, just wait for somebody
to die. Wait for Cyclops. Just wait for them.
$13 an hour, roughly, what we estimate for...
With bennies. With bennies.
Yeah, that's true. You get full dental.
So, I mean, you know, you gotta weigh those options.
Sorry, babe. I gotta go to work. Cyclops is coming. Back to the creek for me.
Probably not coming home today.
I want to make a quick aside. I'm glad you bring it up about the Genosian soldiers, because I know I harp about old games just palette swapping all the time and you fight the same enemies. When I was playing Far Cry 3, that's all I could think about was things are not any better. I'm still fighting the same 5 fucking guys, except they don't even palette swap anymore. What the fuck? It's 2013, dog. Come on.
Come on, y'all. Get it together.
At least the Raiders in Fallout, I feel, maybe had a little more variation than I'm used to. But you're right. Budget cuts, man. Budget cuts. You got to clone the same guy.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And you put so much effort in games like Fallout into, like, creating your face. A face which you never see.
Never. They should give you a photograph at the end of the game.
Yeah, just, there you go.
And you're like, who the fuck is this guy?
Just like you standing next to all of the things that you've seen. It's like, you know, welcome to scenic, terrible valley where everyone died.
Man, this guy had a horrible time.
What is Apocalypse's power?
All of it.
Because, I mean, is
all the powers.
All powers. Why does he have the A Texas belt buckle just like...
His name right is there. Apocalypse.
But none of us have, like, DJ or T just, like, big on a belt buckle, just, right here?
I could.
Speak for yourself.
Because if it was part of your mutant power.
Yeah, you know, in all fairness, if I was named Apocalypse, I would probably get a big ass belt buckle that said, it was like, hey, oh man, this is so sweet.
And a sash. There's Apocalypse on it.
I mean, is Apocalypse basically naked the whole time? Because he's a shapeshifter.
Right.
So
that's a good question.
Is that so he is dressed exactly how he would want to be dressed because he's a shapeshifter, because those aren't clothes. That's all his skin.
Mm-hmm. Skin belt buckle. I own a few of those. Skin
belt buckle. I've seen him Apache Chief before, uh-huh. where he can just get larger and smaller.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen like some minor energy manipulation. He's immortal,
mm-hmm.
an immortal Egyptian.
Mm-hmm.
He can make the four horsemen. I'm not sure the process in which he made the four horsemen.
Yeah, he calls the horsemen, and famously, some of our heroes, sadly, have been turned to horsemen.
Spoiler alert.
At some point in time.
It's true.
And then this game,
for a 30-year-old comic,
he could porcupine out, which I'd never seen before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he likes to become a porcupine or throw a big drill arm at you.
Yeah, he big daddied me a few times. That was his favorite way to kill me. And then he, of course, I would get harvested, and you know, it's a big thing.
Is Morph in any game? Can you think of a Morph game?
I don't think
game?
So.
I don't know.
My first experience dealing with death as a kid was Morph getting killed in the cartoon in the first episode.
Spoilers.
This is full of spoilers, you guys. Oh my god!
I just remember being so upset about Morph, because he was the funny one automatically off the bat. And then the first real big twist was when he comes back. I remember X-Men cartoon just blowing my mind several instances.
we probably don't, like, Batman the Animated Series rightly gets a lot of acclaim.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, it's well done. You can watch it today and it's just as good. But
it is.
I don't know. Like, I think X-Men the Animated Series probably, while it doesn't hold up as well.
It does not.
But it doesn't get enough credit for being brave with stuff like that.
Sure.
Like, you know. To kill off Morph in the first episode is like, that takes a lot of balls on a Saturday morning cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
You know, in the 90s. Like, that's amazing. Totally forgotten about that until this very moment.
Yeah, I had to.
I'm jumping all over with X-Men related stuff.
Great.
I'm
sure I love it.
We had X-Men figures.
Oh, yeah.
X-Men figures.
Yeah.
What's a figure that, like, you got, but you just hated it? You didn't really care about the character that much. You didn't like the way the action figure operated.
When you started this question,
I thought you said, like, what's your favorite action figure? No.
I thought you were going total opposite. Huh.
I guess, I mean, I had a couple X-Men in action figures. Like, they were the kinds that you'd find, like, on a birthday cake or something like that. I never had any X-Men action figures.
Really?
Mm-mm. Never did. All I had were those cake figures, I'll call them.
Cake figures. All right.
I can tell you that my least legitimate action figure I had was Bob the Goon from... Yeah,
wow.
From Tim Burton's Batman.
Yeah,
I remember,
he was terrible.
I remember asking my parents for a Batman action figure for Christmas. They technically delivered. I did not get Batman or the Joker. I did get Bob the Goon in the Batmobile.
So your parents went Christmas Eve to buy you presents.
So Bob the Goon was driving around the Batmobile.
He was. Yeah, he was. It was a fucked up alternate reality.
Well, I think that my problem with the question is that I had a lot of toys. I had a lot of, like, action figures that was, like, what I asked for Christmases and stuff. I just don't remember the ones that I, like, completely hated. I remember one, for some reason, popping into my head that I almost immediately lost everything for was Strife. I lost Strife's helmet, so he just became, yep. like
Cable with armor.
Yes, silver bondage Cable. Like, super, super tight. Ugh. But, yeah, I don't know, Strife. But I'm going to answer the question that you didn't ask, if you were curious. The one that, like, for some reason sticks out in my mind is, like, what's an awesome one? Mojo. I loved my Mojo figure.
I don't even know who that is.
He's the big...
yellow dude.
Yeah, the big, fat, yellow guy that has the like...
All the plugs.
Spider. Yeah, plugs all over him.
Uh-huh.
He's like in a spider wheelchair that has like a scorpion's tail. I'll show you.
I think you guys are just making shit up.
I'll show you a picture.
You guys are just naming shit up and trying to up each other. He's in a wheelchair. Oh, he's got plugs all over him. Oh, he's fat and yellow.
He's got all those dicks on his face. Remember that?
He came to my 12th birthday party.
He slapped the Bob the Goon action figure out of my hand.
There are two that I really didn't like. One, I had Cannonball. Cannonball's arms didn't move. They would only go up and down.
Oh.
And that frustrated me.
Did you have purple or pink?
Purple.
Okay. I can't remember which one is the first run. I think pink is the first run. And then...
they realize their mistake?
Yeah, yeah.
Why are no one buying these?
I had a pink Cannonball, so he was my favorite.
I think probably my least favorite was probably my Sauron action figure. Mm-hmm. I didn't like him.
He's a dinosaur.
Dinosaur man.
I loved him as a kid.
I was not a dinosaur kid at all. That was my natural neighbor David Dykes. He was a dinosaur kid. But I didn't like his costume and the way he looked. His head was all huge and he wouldn't fit like in anything properly. The screw was loose in his jaw, so his mouth was always open.
Just shocked constantly.
Cannonball's arms in the air, Sauron just shocked looking at him.
That's a scene. That's a tiny scene.
I was
like
thinking.
Cannonball celebrating and
yeah.
Sauron just what? What just happened?
My favorite action figure though was probably I had a Wolverine. He had some kind of armor on, some kind of copper armor on him. Like you could plug him in. Retractable claws though.
Nice.
Claws Wolverine.
Yeah. I actually have in my closet the first run Magneto action figure.
Mm.
None of those were very good. And that first Wolverine, I had him and I loved him, but he sucked, man. Just with the little like tab where you push it out and his claws pop out. Whee! I am kind of sad for like the upcoming generation because video games have become so dominant to kids that I feel like they're just becoming less and less interested in having physical toys.
Lego is like the last hope. The last bastion is Lego.
But Minecraft, man.
Yeah.
And
what's
obviously,
wrong with that?
I don't know. I think that there's just something...
less shit to throw away later.
Yeah, but you're also...
what are you guys selling at a yard sale for a fraction of the price that you want later?
You guys got a Sauron for a quarter? Fresh out, man. Fresh out.
But I think it has a lot more to do with, you know, it's like I had a wrestling federation with, like, my wrestling figures and my Chuck Norris figures mm-hmm. and my you know,
Chuck
X-Men
Norris
figures.
Chuck Norris figures.
I had Chuck Norris figures. I had Chuck, and then he had a big sumo dude, who I also had. And the big sumo dude was my champion for a long time. I love video games. Obviously, I'm speaking on a video game podcast right now, but...
technically about action figures, but right.
But, like, just the ability to be able to create your own world with these figures and tell your own stories, mm-hmm. I think is important. And it's an important thing that... maybe losing out on in having directed experiences in a video game.
I think kids can do that without action figures.
Yeah, but how? What will they do?
What were they doing before action figures?
I mean, like cowboys and Indians.
I mean, there
and
were
stuff
stories.
Like that, I guess. Well, yeah, there's stories, but I don't know. They'll be like, what do you want to do? Do you want to play outside? No, let's go inside and play video games.
Jake is making the duck face. I'm tired of that impression. It's pretty good.
Going inside playing video games sounds pretty good to me.
Listen, I'm not saying. I'm just saying I'm sad about the passing of action figures. Listen, action figures.
They still exist, or just for guys our age?
I know. Exactly. It's going to get to a point where, you know, the only people that are buying action figures are 30 to 55. Right there in that range.
That's just like comics. Spot.
Yeah, it's when I worked at KB Toys in Orlando, there were some people who bought the X-Men or the Marvel Legends and stuff like that, but for the most part it was people coming in that wanted to try and find something to collect or find a variant.
What are, they had a term for like what's the one in a box?
Short packed? Is that it?
Maybe. I don't know. I was hoping you could
I don't remember. It's been so long.
Yeah.
It's been so long since I worked as an assistant manager at a KB Toys. So long.
Yeah, talk about some tropes this video game does fall into.
Sure.
Of course, they have a train level.
Yes.
Always a train level.
The fucking train level. Fortunately, is very, very short, and at the end of it, it's like a sub-level.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a train boss.
Cyclops fights
a train.
That's why there's a Phantom train in Final Fantasy VI. Cyclops kills it in X-Men Mutant Apocalypse.
Of course, there's the level where... The wall of death is chasing you.
Advancing
and this
wall.
One, it happens to be lava.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, lava is only deadly to touch. You can get as close to it as you want.
Right.
And you'll be fine.
It doesn't actually give off any heat.
Yep.
You just drown in it.
I think that that was probably the stage that we had the most trouble with.
That was
that one.
Okay, because you start off, each X-Men has their own individual level.
Right.
And then you get to pick your own X-Men to go through the levels.
After you've completed all their levels, right.
And there are a few, you know, all the X-Men single levels are pretty easy. And then the first few where you get to choose are easy.
Mm-hmm.
But then lava level, that's where the spike comes up.
And that's Apocalypse's lair.
Mm-hmm.
He flips the lava switch and floods his lair with lava.
Very easy control lava.
Mm-hmm.
Very
mm-hmm.
easy. Lots of contractors come in. Yeah, I'll put you in a lava tube, man. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, I got to put the drywall up and the McDonald's at noon, and I'm going to put the lava tubes in Apocalypse and Genosian Island at 4.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a few levels that I felt were unnecessary, because when you finally go through all of the single levels, and like you beat Apocalypse, and you're, oh, you know, go to Magneto now, they make you go to the Danger Room... And
you
fight.
You gotta train.
Well, see,
where are you gonna train, Tyler? You gotta train.
I enjoyed those levels, but I don't. I was very frustrated by Omega Red, but I did think that it was really stupid. It was like, oh, something about Cerebro,
we need more levels.
Just fight these two guys, okay? Just fight these two guys.
Some kid had to have seizures because of the Danger Room level, and like nothing that you could interact with changed. Still, there were still the same two platforms. There would just be tons of colors and lights, and it would go from jungle to street to cave, and that's it.
It's like, could you, whoever's running the Danger Room, could you actually just please just give me one consistent area so that I could focus on beating this guy, please?
Yep.
Don't cycle through shuffle.
And then, of course, you fight Juggernaut, Omega Red.
Yes.
Who was frustrating, because it looked like he was just, had like, you know, the pool... Styrofoam tubes, like he would just wiggle those at you.
Mm-hmm. Omega,
if you got close to him, he'd wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Omega Red was frustrating for me because I knew how to beat him.
Right.
But it was just a matter of doing it.
You were having some issues with some of the button press combos.
Yeah, I couldn't Hadouken to save my dang life.
I don't know, I must have been the pressure, I think, because throughout the rest of the game, I think you did just fine.
Yeah, although I do tend to avoid stuff like that if I can.
But in this situation, in the Danger Room,
I had to do that because that is the best way to beat him.
You're right.
So, and if I could have done that from the beginning, I would have beaten him first time at the box. But it took, probably 4 times before I was finally, the stars aligned.
Yeah.
And I was able to do everything.
It took a few tries.
Yeah.
And I know that it's interesting because Omega Red, of course, is in the Arcade Fighter. Children of the Atom,
mm-hmm.
and his move set when you fight him in the Danger Room in this game is exactly the same as his move set in the Arcade stand-up.
And then you fight Juggernaut, and the level is much smaller, and Juggernaut is very big, so it's sort of a game to jump over him and hit him a few times before he charges back to the other side, jump over, hit him a few times,
mm-hmm.
do that back and forth. It was like filler in anime.
Yeah, it was definitely filler.
I was put off by those two levels quite a bit. But to go back to something I forgot about, in the Apocalypse level, you're supposed to free mutants that are trapped there from Apocalypse.
Dang.
And all their prison cells,
dang.
They abbreviate danger as dang.
Dang.
So
dang.
Above all the prisoners are just dang and the number 19, because they don't have different numbers above their cells. They're all just in the 19th cell.
Yes.
I'm going to pretend that whoever made this game is a big Stephen King fan, and that it was just them putting 19 out there, just black 19.
I'd like to think that it was just one big cell, because we never see the inside of the cell. So maybe there is just cell 19.
That one dang cell.
I like to think that there were 19 people in each cell, and it was a danger because it was overcrowded.
It's the quantity. They paint
yeah.
the quantity on the top. I like
dang,
that.
19 people in here. How'd you do that, Apocalypse?
Oh, you know, or it's Apocalypse.
But
Shaq.
Oh, you know, don't mind me. Just Apocalypse over here. Shooting my free throws.
Really good impression, you guys.
It's good.
I think it's easier and fun until the last two stages. Huge spike in difficulty. Gets
mm-hmm.
frustrating. And then it hits its crescendo of frustrating with the final boss.
Yeah, I will say that even the final levels, I could see, oh, these are challenging, right, and they're difficult,
right,
and they border on frustrating, but I'm not, and I am getting frustrated, but they're not like...
I can take a little break,
yeah,
cool down a little bit, come back and be okay.
I'm not thinking this game is bullshit.
Right. However...
Until Magneto.
Yeah.
Who, it should be referenced, it should be said, that from my perspective, Magneto, he is my favorite comic book character of all time, and fighting him should be suitably epic.
Mm-hmm.
But the final battle was not epic at all.
No, it's not. He is epic.
Yeah. In his difficulty.
Right.
But it's only because of his defense. And it's, he basically has three moves. He has an electromagnetic shield, mm-hmm, that is around him, and sometimes he'll fly around the room.
Try to hit you with that.
Yeah.
He'll bump you with it.
Yeah.
He'll bump you.
And then sometimes he summons four pieces of metal and throws them at you.
Which, to interrupt for just a moment, if you don't mind, why is he tearing his own ship apart? Why does he do that? Magneto, you keep metal around, just keep scrap metal around, like chunks of ore or something.
Yeah,
anyway.
And then he has sort of an energy draining magnet.
Yeah, it paralyzes.
Yeah,
it's a pink orb that paralyzes you.
That he sends out at you, which
he sends this pink thing at you,
and it squeezes,
and you can't move.
And that's kind of it. So Magneto actually has less moves than the standard X-Men character, especially when you count punches and kicks. He has less moves than a knife guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The only reason that it is difficult to beat him is because he takes damage slowly, and you can basically attack him once every...
3 seconds or so?
I'd say 6 seconds.
You said it perfectly when you said that the fight with Magneto is a war of attrition.
Yeah.
It really is. And it doesn't, you're completely right, it doesn't translate as challenging. It translates to frustrating.
Yeah.
It's frustrating to fight him.
It's far and away the worst part of the game.
It is.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
Nothing else even comes close. And it's sad because it's such a fun game up until that final boss. And it's not even like, it's not even a situation where, like, in other games you might fight the last boss and you don't like it for whatever reason, but, you know, you kind of see why they did it. Like, it's, there's no, it, I mean, I hate to say it, but it just sort of feels like they ran out of time with Magneto. It sort of feels like they got to the end and were like, well, let's just toss these three moves on him and call it a day.
Yeah, and I think that if he didn't have nearly as many hit points, if you didn't have to hit him so many damn times,
yeah,
he wouldn't feel so underdeveloped.
Yeah.
Because some of the other bosses, like Juggernaut, for example, in the Danger Room, there's not a whole lot to him either.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's not an 8-minute battle to take him down.
Yeah.
I mean, he's tough, as he should be, but it's not to the point where it's like, how the fuck long have I been hitting him?
Mm-hmm. And honestly, Juggernaut should have more hit points than Magneto.
Yeah, clearly.
So it should be more about Magneto's just sort of sheer power.
He's the Juggernaut, bitch.
Oh, yeah.
It had to be done.
He's seen X3. He's just another mutant. Just, he would box.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah, it's fine. I did like Magneto's level, that it changed depending on the X-Men that you chose.
Yeah.
All the others, you would just put the X-Men, whoever you chose, in that level.
Yeah.
And they could do it slightly differently. His changed, so you always had...
It was very specific to the character. And it was kind of a callback to the first 5 missions, because each X-Man has their own individual level.
And it felt like you were also on a team again, because you play through with one character, and halfway through you have to fight Exodus,
right,
who is Magneto's right-hand man. And you beat him down to the point where he has half of his energy and then he disappears. And if you play through later as someone else, like if you get to Magneto as Cyclops and then Magneto beats Cyclops, if you play through as Wolverine, then Exodus has half of his health.
Right. Yeah, so you fight Exodus again. But,
yeah, just defeat Exodus.
Exodus, I'm not that familiar with him, he looks like a Sailor Moon villain to me.
90s comics, man. Yeah. I mean, I can't really stress that enough.
No justification. It just is how it is. Uh-huh. But yeah, I don't want to harp on it, but man, I just hated this last. I just hated the final boss.
I understand.
And I love Magneto so much. He deserves better.
I agree. Oof. And I think it harkens back to the days of Capcom that at this point in 94, I thought they were done with. Mm-hmm. And that is, we're just going to throw a really, really frustratingly hard boss at the end of a game.
Yeah.
And not really make it an interesting fight either.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of, that was, you're right. That is definitely a downfall of the game.
Yeah.
I feel like this is probably one of my favorite of the X-Men games.
And I'll say this too, is that this is, I don't know. I just want Rocksteady to develop every like superhero game. Can we just get them on that? Because I still feel like there's a great X-Men game out there that has yet to be discovered.
Ooh, yeah.
Like it's just waiting around. There's so much that you can do. You can go with the beat 'em up element, or you can go uh-huh. with the adventure element, or you can go with the platforming element, or you can go with the RPG element. There are so many things that you can do with this group, and you know, like X-Men Legends didn't do it.
No,
you know, the X-Men game where you're playing as the mutant that was specifically created for the game that came out, I don't know, a year or two ago. Like that didn't do it. That game is still out there somewhere. It just needs mm-hmm. to be uncovered somehow.
I guess Ultimate Alliance was something, but it's still that's Gauntlet with X-Men characters.
Yeah.
And I like the Ultimate Alliance games.
They're fun for what they are.
Yeah, they are. There's not a whole lot to them. They're kind of grindy, but you know, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm. I got achievements.
Do you?
I do. I've got 3 I can read off. 2 are pretty related, but
okay.
I've got 3 I can read off.
I don't have any prepared, so take your time and I'll come up with them.
My first one being Army of One, so that every opportunity you have to choose, you always play as the same X-Men and run through, beat the whole game as that X-Men. Easily done with Wolverine, because Wolverine is the OP character, but it's much difficult with anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Stop, drop, shut them down, open up, shut them down. Which is do 10 consecutive jumping moves without touching the ground on various enemies, and then snickety snickety snick, which is that would be the achievement for doing it, beating it as Wolverine. You get the Army of One for doing it with anybody, and then that one for doing it, beating it with just Wolverine.
You kind of took mine, because the one that I was going with is entitled Shall I Call You Weapon X? And that is essentially beating all of the optional levels with Wolverine specifically. But I have another one, and it's a twofer because it explains a disappointment of mine for this game, and it also is an achievement. I believe that in Cell 19 in Genosha, there is a very wonderful, loving Japanese composer who goes by the name of Yuki-chan's Papa. So the achievement is called Bring Back the Music, and you need to find Yuki-chan's Papa in Cell 19 on Genosha, because he was not the sound designer for this game. He's a sound designer for so many Capcom games, and it disappointed me when he didn't show up in the credits, because I like the music in this game so much.
Mm-hmm. The music reminded me a whole lot of the Mega Man X series.
Yeah,
very, very similar.
And I totally hijacked that. Jacob, do you have achievements?
Yeah. Off the top of my head, the only one that I can think of is, we could call it Masturbatory Gold, and do 20 consecutive spin kicks with Psylocke.
Yeah. Man, there are...
I mean...
Oh,
you,
as a kid...
If you play it, you know why.
Uh-huh. There are two things that I paused over and over again. Chun-Li's lightning kick... and Psylocke's spin kick, or even her at the end of her psychic blade animation, there is some ridiculous ass going on. So, Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
I know we've had a lot of fun today talking about X-Men.
Mm.
I've got a question, though. We need to switch modes from happy fun time to Sirius.
Flip mode.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Guys, why are we whispering?
It's to get us in the beards and glasses mood.
Oh.
It's Zen.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Tyler, if you were to give this game a beard, what kind of beard would you give it?
I would give it three different incarnations of Thor's blonde beard.
Okay.
Which at the same time looks silly, and it's blonde. A long blonde beard is always suspect, but Thor can pull it off.
Okay, okay.
Can I suggest a beard?
I know. I think it might be the one that I'm thinking.
The beard that I want to suggest is Bishop's line beard with the M tattoo on the cheek. I want to give it four of those.
Well, you may have just taken Tyler's glasses because he may have the M as the glasses.
Mm-mm.
Okay, okay, we're in the clear.
Yes.
So you have a twofer. I like that. You have a beard and a glass.
It's the whole thing. It's perfect. And one white eye.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
That was a good beard. I feel like that was a good beard.
Yeah.
Do you have a pair of glasses prepared that you would like to give this game?
I do.
What would that be?
I had already used Cyclops' optic visor.
Right.
Plus, I don't think this game is quite worthy of an optic visor.
Wow.
What?
I'm going to give it Matt Murdock's Daredevil glasses that he wears when he's simply Matt Murdock. Because they're cool, they help him out, but they're not altogether necessary.
Hmm.
You could give like the sunglasses that Cyclops wears just in life.
The ruby sunglasses?
Like just not the regular sunglasses.
Yeah, like just not
block.
The... Yeah.
He has to raise them up. They're only half functional.
That's what I would give them. That's what I would give them.
Listen, I don't want to step all over this, you guys.
Well, you already have, so we might as well carry it out.
You guys, I'm sorry. I'm stepping over my boundaries.
Tyler and Jacob.
Hey.
We're back.
Oh, hey, what's up?
Hey.
Earthbound Chrono Trigger.
Yeah.
Guess what?
What?
We had some people call us.
Oh, yeah.
And we really like that.
I'm excited about this.
We really like that. You should be excited because there are some good ones. Let's hear from our first listener, shall we?
Okay.
Hey, Tadpog. Mustachioed Cleric here, a.k.a. Father Wiley. I just listened to the Noah's Ark 3D episode, and you have put me on a new mission to find a reasonable Bible game. But I feel like that's probably a difficult proposition for the SNES. So, I'd be interested if you know any decent Bible game for any console and or PC system whatsoever. So, let me see what you think. Think you're doing a great job. Love the show. Listen to this episode. This is Wednesday when you just recorded just released the Noah's Ark episode. Listening to it every day you release an episode. Thanks for the great work. Talk to you later.
I'm impressed by Wiley because he's very eloquent for someone who I know was fucking wasted.
What?
He was so drunk when he made that call.
What?
I'm impressed. He kept it together very well. He just had a few things that he'd drag out and he rambled a little bit. That was pretty impressive. It was a pretty impressive.
How did you know he was drunk?
Because I called him and said, "Hey, are you drunk?" "Yep." "Hey, why don't you call Tadpog?"
Which we recommend anyone who's drunk, go ahead and call us.
Yep.
We'll be giving the number out later because I can't remember it right now and have to look in my phone every time we record.
It's because you're drunk.
I am constantly drunk. I am what you call a very high-functioning alcoholic.
What are good biblical video games, you guys?
There aren't any.
I
cannot think of one.
ActRaiser? That's a stretch.
That is a stretch. That would be the only qualifiable game. It's got a lot of biblical references in it, but...
My favorite book in the Bible is Icarus.
I guess it depends on what you mean by religious, because, God of War, I guess.
It has God in the title.
You know, it's like it doesn't deal with the mythology that you know most people believe in. But I don't know what Binding of Isaac is about. Is that?
Oh, that is a very, very good call. Because Binding of Isaac is.
I know it has like religious undertones.
It does. It's not like a literal translation of.
Say it's almost a modern
story of Isaac, but yeah. It's a Zelda-style game that has, yeah, certainly has biblical undertones. Good answer.
Nice. Yeah.
Good. Hurrah.
Go Jacob.
Now, I'm glad that you explained to me that Wiley was in his cups, because we also got this message. I think this gentleman may have been with Wiley.
Fuck you, Tag Bob. The first thing I need to say is that occasionally I miss episodes, and that I catch up on them in groups. So I don't appreciate how much shit I get later when I listen to them, because I do listen to them. And so that's all. In regards to Mutant Apocalypse, I liked the game. I didn't love the game. It was fine. It had some of my favorite characters, but I don't know. Something about the execution of the game just didn't mesh with me. Tyler, your wife is super drunk right now, and so am I. And that's all I need to say. Love you, Tyler and Dave. And I still have plans to become the greatest fan of all time, but I'm not yet. And that's something I greatly regret, but something I will rectify in the near future. That is all. Also, Tyler has a problem with peeing randomly on the toilet seat. That's all. Thanks, bye.
We don't know who that is.
Yeah, I don't know.
No clue.
No one knows who that person is.
Tyler, I want to talk to you about this toilet seat.
Well, hey, listen, at least he's flushing.
At least I'm flushing, and at least I'm going in the toilet. When I lived alone in Louisville, I exclusively went in the bathtub.
I exclusively peed on the wall.
I'm sorry if I blew out your sound there. I'm sorry.
In Louisville, I had a long bathroom, and the toilet was at the opposite end, so I would just step in, bathtub.
I wish you could have set up an elaborate system with tubes where you could just pee from where you're seated.
I think it's so interesting because your time in Louisville was no question when you were the grossest and also when you were dealing with food the most.
I don't like the looks of that Venn diagram.
I had to be so sanitary at school when I was cooking that it had to all come out somewhere else at home.
Oh my gosh. Oh man.
So what do you think about that guy?
I had a lot of trouble understanding what he was saying, and let me tell you, the Google Translate transcribe option was not helping.
It never does, but even so, in this case,
I think Blake drunk pretty well. Whenever we lived close to each other, like, I was constantly trying to get him, like, he loves Mountain Dew and rum. That was pretty much his drink of choice.
That sounds awful.
That feels like a 17-year-old girl's, like, favorite mixed drink. Like, who lives in Arkansas somewhere. No offense to any of our Arkansas listeners.
We have a huge female demographic in Arkansas, Jacob.
And they love their Arkansas iced teas, I'll have you know.
I just want a rum and a Mountain Dew. I don't need my teeth anymore. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, but there was an alumni party that Blake, Wiley, and Meg were all at. Because I called Meg, and I haven't heard her that wasted since early college. Like it was another level. Because apparently she drank almost a whole bottle of Fruit Loop vodka.
Oh.
And she's not a vodka drinker.
She is now.
Yeah.
Got another call, Tyler.
Mm.
I think this may end the drunk calls, unfortunately. I don't know. We'll be the judge of that.
Hey, Tyler. Hey, Dave. It's Paul again. Dave, you asked why I work so busy? Well, I'm a consultant. I make my money as best I can get jobs. I did a little bit of Googling. Apparently you can switch weapons in Super 3D Noah's Ark by just pressing a select button. Don't know if that didn't work for you guys or not, but apparently not. Dave, I think the show is really good. Don't worry about it. Been playing, FF5 this week. And, oh, by the way, I think it was me that called you guys late for the bonus episode and interrupted it. Sorry about that. It was a really good episode, though. Later.
I know. I like that he was encouraging.
Yeah. I like that he realizes that it was him who called, because that's exactly what I wanted. Because even when we were recording, it was like, this person, they're going to get a thrill because they're calling right now, and it's awesome.
But yeah, we tried every other button but this like button.
You think?
That is the bastard child of buttons to press.
You'd think we would have tried select, but instead, no. I just kept jamming R and L as hard as I could. Maybe if I hit it harder.
You know who I'm surprised has not called in yet? A representative from Megalixir.
Oh, yeah.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised because, you know, they're such friends of the show. I'm just surprised that you guys haven't heard from them
yet. That's true.
Well, Megalixir, if you're out there listening, we'd love to hear from you.
Come on, guys. The gauntlet's been thrown down. Call in.
I'll do in succession. Make sure you call each other before you call us and call 5 minutes apart.
Actually, if you guys could arrange it so that you call together as Huey, Dewey, and Louie, that would be perfect.
I would actually... what I want is I just want them to call in and all you hear is just shredding. just guitars and just drums. And
it's all Peter Gabriel and shit.
Then, just, you know, like 45 seconds of that and then over.
We've got another call.
Oh, another one.
Another one.
Wow.
To keep coming, and
yeah,
I love
nice.
It. Here we go.
Ted Fogg, this is the dirtiest, David Dykus. And as of this phone call, I've spent this past week working on the music for the X-Men Mutant Apocalypse episode. And so that got me listening to a bunch of old Super Nintendo music, and I wanted to ask you guys two questions. First, of the games you've played so far, which has had the best soundtrack, in your opinion? And what are your top three Super Nintendo soundtracks, not counting Earthbound, Chrono Trigger, or Final Fantasy VI? That's all I got. Hope to see you guys on the show soon. Bye.
We need a few moments, I assume. Mm-hmm. I haven't listened to this.
Because Earthbound...
He called
above,
6 hours ago.
Earthbound is above and beyond my favorite soundtrack for a game. So having to...
Who doesn't love the coffee song?
Oh, man. I know why you love the coffee song.
Well, I know a few lawyers who don't like the Earthbound soundtrack.
No, all the way for Nintendo America, because they're causing enough problems by getting it on the virtual console.
I mean, is it too cliche to say, like, Super Mario World? Like,
no, I don't think that's too cliche at all.
I mean, it's great. It sounds great. That's got to be one of mine.
You may laugh at me, but I would put Final Fight on there, because I really, really like the music of Final Fight, and some of it's reused later
mm-hmm.
in Street Fighter games,
yeah.
And it kind of has become... Like the Bay Area, I think it's the Bay Area track. I think that has kind of become its own thing,
yeah.
And has become like more just a Capcom song than a Final Fight song.
And I also think that Street Fighter 2, just into Capcom just makes they have some good music. I really like the Street Fighter 2. I really like the stage themes. I was always a big Guile fan growing up, so Guile theme goes
Guile
with everything.
Theme.
Is
show notes. I'm gonna have some Guile theme in the show notes.
That's gonna make Meg sick. Meg had a very upsetting dream about Guile, and she has not been able to look at him the same since.
This has been a very embarrassing episode for Meg.
Poor Megan. Yeah.
Well, she didn't call us drunk, so it could have been worse. I love the Super Mario RPG soundtrack.
Yeah.
It is top notch.
Yeah.
And also,
Suikoden, that's not really Super Nintendo.
No,
I don't know if it's not.
It's definitely not Super Nintendo.
Mm-mm, what are you doing?
Just fuck shit up.
Also, another thing that I find with specifically with like these games that we are talking about
mm-hmm.
is that I forget how much I love a song until,
yeah.
I mean, X-Men Mutant Apocalypse,
yeah.
So many songs would play,
mm-hmm.
and then suddenly I'd be like, oh, I remember everything about this song.
Yes.
So, I mean, I really don't know. What my favorites are going forward, you know?
Yeah. So Super Mario RPG, Mega Man X, which I remember all the different stages were all put together very well.
Mm-hmm.
The badass heavy metal of Zero coming in and cutting off Bile's arm. Like, I feel like all the music for that was excellent.
I'm not going to give you three, Dykus. I appreciate the song that you sent in, but this request is ludicrous. You've cut out the obvious choices.
What's your favorite that's not your favorite?
Right, exactly. But I will say, like I said, Final Fight, and also I think the music in Earthworm Jim is very appropriate for
mm-hmm.
the game. I wouldn't say that it's favorite music of mine, but the use of music in both Earthworm Jim and Earthworm Jim 2 I think are extremely appropriate.
Yeah, and I will say this, it's not a and it's probably been brought up, and I know it's not an SNES game. It is an NES game. But my favorite piece of game music all time is Moon from DuckTales.
Fuck to the S.
Yeah, Megalichard has a very, very good cover of that.
Yeah.
Like, it's wonderful. It's just wonderful. It makes me so happy. So I'm very, very excited for the HD remake of DuckTales. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited.
I'm going to say my third is Illusion of Gaia.
Nice. I almost went that direction with, like, Secret of Mana, even, mm-hmm. because he didn't say that one.
Just because I'm thinking about it. I applaud Paul for calling and saying he's playing Final Fantasy V. That is the hardest one to get through. I had a rough time
really?
With Final Fantasy V.
Yeah. I don't know if it was the hardest for me to get through, but it was definitely a... Like, do you mean it was difficult?
It's my least favorite story-wise.
Okay.
My least favorite mechanically is 2.
Okay.
Because
the hardest one for me to get through was 13 because I didn't. Because I gave up on it. Because I didn't like it.
You hated 5 story more than 1's?
Yeah, I've been, and 1 is just kind of a try. It establishes the baseline.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can't...
You're lenient?
Yeah, I'm leaning on its early, very discovering its footing. Like, by 5, they should have been naming a villain Death X.
Especially after 4.
Yeah.
I mean, what the fuck, 5?
Yeah.
5 is truly the middle child in the triplets of 4, 5, and 6.
Mm-hmm. True.
No offense to middle children out there. You're people, too. You're just, you know, not as good as the first or last.
You're the cream in the Oreo sandwich, middle child. Okay, it's
all right. Oreo sandwich.
Tyler, do we have people to thank?
Probably. Josh Nance, Nicole Nance, Ramon Link, Jess at Silk Street Post.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Meg. Probably not for this one, but the last one we'll have to thank her for. She won't promote this one. Thank all our callers. Matt and Dennis for feedback. Micah, I'm preempting thanking you for awesome art, because I know it's going to be there.
While you've been talking, I've been frantically trying to check Facebook and Twitter and all that.
Oh, and Laura Edmonds for Twitter.
There you go.
Tony for Twitter. Jacob, sometimes for Twitter. He'll tweet this one, though, because he's on it.
Yeah, I will definitely.
You're obligated.
I will definitely tweet the one that I want.
Some form of an appreciative gooch. So rub gooch, nice gooch, puppy gooch. One of those.
And also, Leva will tweet this one because I will make her.
Yep. Nice.
Thanks, Leva.
Thanks. Thank you, Leva. And thank you for my original Magneto action figure, which we will have a picture of in the show notes.
Now it's a thing.
Yeah, it just happened.
We do need to thank the wonderful people who wrote iTunes reviews for us.
Yeah, there you go.
Because we really appreciate those, and those actually are the things that help us in the show the most so that other people can find out about the show on iTunes. Paul Cluel. Our good friend of the show, who calls in regularly, thank you for the 5-star review. And Master P's. I really like Master P's. I really like Master P's. That's it. Period. His title of the review is very good.
An artist and a vegetable.
It was simply OMG, 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 OMG. So
it's pretty good. You are in the running for that.
One OMG per star.
Which I'm glad that you brought that up because, yeah, we've got that contest going on.
Mm-hmm. What?
We've got a contest going on.
Ooh.
Leave a 5-star review on iTunes. You have to actually type out a review. I'm sorry. I know that's a pain in the ass. But you are allowed to just say Gooder over and over again if you want to. And you will be entered in a contest to win Halo figurines.
Wow.
That Matt Barger graciously sent us.
That's awesome. That's so cool.
Have you written a review, Jacob?
I haven't. I 5-starred it, but I haven't.
You won the Steam
review.
Key. You could win the Halo figure.
I did win it. Suck it, everyone out there. I did it. Me. I'm on the show. I don't need Hotline Miami.
What is it? Time for something?
Time to get ill.
I thought you were slipping into your Wario voice.
Time for some real green.
Nice. Okay. I can sleep now.
It's not gonna sound good when you guys listen.
No,
to it. That doesn't sound like Wario. But in the room, oh,
it's
man,
not nearly,
it's magic.
It's not gonna sound nearly as close as your jackalope impression, Tyler.
Yeah, that was just spot on. thanks everyone for listening. You can find us on iTunes or Stitcher. Go to iTunes, subscribe to the show, leave a 5-star review. Helps us. You might get a prize.
Win a hunk of plastic that kids don't care about anymore.
Yeah. And make sure you tune in next week. We'll be playing the 77th ranked game.
Seven is the number.
We're bad at numbers. Very bad at numbers. Yeah.
But tune in next week, and we'll be playing IGN's 77th ranked game, Shadowrun.
Yes.
So, special thanks to David Dacus for introing, outroing our show with Cyclops' remix theme.
Yes, thanks.
And thank you very much for your second appearance to Jacob York.
Hey, no problem,
thanks,
you guys.
Jacob.
Hey.
Have anything you want to plug?
I mean, you know, follow me on Twitter, @JakeHopster. Like me on Facebook, Jacob York, actor. Keep up with all of the cool things that I'm doing.
Awesome.
That's it. Yeah. I won't have anything coming up that is soon enough that would be worth plugging. But
okay. Well, when you do, come back on the show and plug it.
Well, whenever, I'll tell you what, I'm gonna be close to town for a while, so Ted Pug listeners, y'all are gonna get sick of me in the months of September and October. I cannot wait.
I also want to thank everyone who's listened so far, because this is probably going to be our longest episode.
It's a long one.
Ever.
Feels long.
So if you made it this far, thumbs up to you, buddy.
Congratulations.
Don't worry, guys. I know what you're thinking. We may not be back next week to talk about Shadowrun, but in fact, we will. In the meantime, if you can't get enough of our lovely voices, you can always go to tadpog.com or visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/tadpog. Tyler. Our intro song was not Moves.
Mm-mm.
By Sycamore Drive.
Mm-mm.
It was another song that Dykus has named, but I don't recall the name of.
Mm-mm. All right.
But Dykus did it, and it's Cyclops' theme. That will also be the song that people will hear right about now.
Nice.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Look at it. Oh.
Yeah.
It's got a good beat, and I can dance to this.
That's a show.
I'm sorry, I interrupted it.
I don't know what our 77th ranked game is.
From the top,
we're playing it.
You guys know why you ended up with 21, right?
I'll do that as a stinger. Nicole will laugh.